Because of just the day, and I know a lot of people have things going on. It's a long weekend for those that work the Monday through Friday type thing. So you, most of you have Monday off. So I know you incorporate a lot of stuff in that day. So anyhow, in Isaiah 28, verse 16, Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. We see a few things there in reference to a stone, a cornerstone, and it's in reference to a sure, a sure foundation. And then the writer there, Isaiah, refers to those that believe shall not make haste. This is a future event. In other words, Isaiah wrote this several thousand years ago, and consequently, that verse has not been fulfilled just yet. It's future from where we are today. But there will be a foundation that is laid. He refers to that sure foundation. He refers to the cornerstone, the tried rock. And so consequently, in so doing, he said, he that believeth shall not make haste. Israel, who this is in reference to, always made haste. What is a haste? It's to hurry up. They always got away from the Lord. They ran from the Lord. They ran from his commandments and his statutes. But he said, when they believe at that time, there's a foundation there, they will not make haste. They're going to be rooted and grounded on that foundation that is planted. Now, with that said, let's go contemporary and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll be coming back to this later, I think. You just never know where the course takes you as you go. But in Ephesians 2, verse 20, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now we're starting to get a vision about this foundation. We're starting to more fully understand this chief cornerstone, and Paul reckons it to it being Jesus Christ. And I can show you that it is. I want you to get two passages of scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. And when you get that, hold 1 Corinthians 10, because then you're going to need to turn all the way back to Numbers chapter 20, and we're going to read Numbers 20 first, so hold 1 Corinthians 10. Back to Numbers chapter 20. Alrighty. In Numbers 20, we're going to read first. So in Numbers 20, verse 7, says, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And folks, I don't want you to ever diminish the importance of when Moses said rebels. That was a very harsh term that he used there. They're rebels, he is implying towards God and his commandments. So that's very mean-spirited, as some might interpret it. So think about that rebel, because today rebels sometimes mean, yeah, I'm a rebel, you know, and you celebrate the rebel spirit. But this is not meant in that way. And so he says, here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. So you see, the issue here was that Moses was told to speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth water and water them. And so consequently, Moses was at his wit's end with these children of Israel as he addressed them as rebels. And so he took the rod and he smote the rock. And the Lord was upset about that, because he said, speak to the rock. Now you get a little more idea of what's going on here by, of all people, the Apostle Paul. He addresses it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So go back where I told you to hold in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to get just one verse. I don't want a lot of the chapter here. But in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In other words, by Moses smoting the rock with the rod, it's a foresight of Israel killing the Lord. And so consequently, Paul is addressing the situation here. And so what is it giving us? It's giving us some insight to the fact that there is a foundation with no pen. Okay. So we know that really from Genesis through the Bible to Revelation, there is a foundation that runs throughout your Bible. I know that's not a straight line, but that's all right. That's the best I can do. There's a foundation that runs through your Bible. Well, what was it referenced to? As a cornerstone. As a rock. Well, then who is that? Jesus Christ. As a cornerstone. Now, I got the definition of cornerstone to read it to you from the Webster's writing of it, so we can understand exactly what a cornerstone is. It is the first stone that is set in masonry. It is important because all other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. So the cornerstone's very important. It is the first stone that is set, and all the other stones are assembled to the square of that stone, determining the structure of the building, the surety of the building, the foundation of the building. Well, we see in Scripture that there's a cornerstone through time. We see in Scripture that there's a rock that has been placed. And we see in Scripture that that rock is Christ. So who is the Savior of all of mankind for all time? Christ. You know what runs through your Bible, Genesis to Revelation? A foundation. There's a foundation for man that God has provided for all of mankind. And that foundation is Christ. And so consequently, Paul makes a reference to a foundation about himself. You're in 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 3. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look in verse 9. We'll start there. He says, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Isn't it interesting? He refers to a building there. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So what's the foundation that he laid? Jesus Christ. That foundation runs through the Bible, but Paul gives out a warning here. He says in verse 10 again, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. What is a master builder anyway? It's an architect. You go to build a building, you know what you need? You need an architect. He's got to structure that building. He's got to have it designed just so the building will be built in process in the cycle of building from the foundation up so that it fits. It works together. I mean, you don't want doors that won't close because they're overlapping each other. Like if we had those two doors back there, well, the architect fouled up on the measurements. That would cause serious problems. Paul is the architect according to the grace of God. Paul is the architect that laid the foundation. But he says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We don't lay a foundation, folks. The foundation's been laid by Paul. What we do is we build. We are laborers. No flashy stuff. No high-minded stuff. We're laborers. We are back-breaking, sweat, blisters on the fingers, laborers for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, take heed. Take heed. I thought about this in a commercial I've seen, and you guys, hopefully you saw it because you're going to really appreciate it, but I think it's a Geico commercial. And so the camera is set in Egypt, and they're looking out there on the plains there, and they're showing the three pyramids out there, right? And they're the pyramids, and they're showing people milling about, working on them. Well, then it draws back, and in a little cluster of palm trees, you had what guy is deemed as he looks to be the architect because he has an apprentice next to him with a cylinder holder and a bunch of blueprints rolled up in there. And so he takes it, he unrolls it, and the camera's behind him. So you see the blueprint, and then you see the pyramids in the background. Well, on the blueprints, the buildings they were to build are square. And then he's looking past it, and he's got pyramids back there. He looks, he goes, you've seen it. No, really, that's what he goes, uh-oh. Yeah, he knows he's got problems. The blueprint said square buildings, and they got pyramids. Folks, take heed how you build thereupon. Paul laid the foundation. And you know what the blueprints call for? It calls for the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ according to the Apostle Paul. It's all about his doctrine. That's what our labor is about. His doctrine. If you don't have his doctrine, you're building on another man's foundation. It is Jesus Christ. Peter preached Jesus Christ. But his doctrine isn't for us today. Because if you grab Peter's doctrine, who was before Paul, and you take his doctrine and incorporate it into the body of Christ, you know what's going to happen when you go to the judgment seat of Christ? Uh-oh. All your labor will have been in vain. Think about the preachers today who preach about Jesus Christ, who talk about Jesus Christ, who supposedly promotes Jesus Christ, and their ministry is based upon Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the ministry of Peter. Very little teaching about the Apostle Paul. Well, he's the wise master builder. And I'd suggest to you, if you're going to labor on this foundation and you're going to build thereupon, you better go to the proper blueprint. Because you don't go to the proper blueprint, you're going to have a pyramid for a square building. It won't work. It's going to be an absolute mess. And so consequently, Paul laid the foundation. You go through time, and we do this all the time. We take the ministry of Christ to his crucifixion. We're out here. There's a foundation. There was a foundation before you and I were born. There was a foundation before Christ came in the flesh. It goes all the way back. They spoke of a foundation. So consequently, we ran it through. It's a cornerstone. It's a rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. So who's been the Savior of mankind all along? Jesus Christ. The souls of men were always saved by Jesus Christ, but it depended on what was being preached at that time. Surely, Jesus Christ was the Savior of Noah and those in his ark. Would you go back and get the blueprints on how to build an ark today and think you're going to build an ark, put it in your backyard and be saved? No. Would you go into the law of Moses and see where yearly they had to come in, I think about April or so, and offer a sacrifice for the atonement of sins? Would you offer a sacrifice today for your sins? No. That was a foundation. Jesus Christ could make the atonement for those that were faithful, offering the sacrifice. You come into the ministry of Jesus Christ. He came in and preached the doctrine that if you're going to follow me, you have to forsake everything in this life. They walked around in poverty. They walked around segregated from society. These guys didn't go listen to Jesus and go back home. You wanted to go into that kingdom? You had to follow him. Are they doing that today? No, they're not. But that was a foundation, was it not? Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Are your sins in remission today or are they forgiven? Yes. Theirs was in remission. So why would you want the doctrine or the blueprint of Peter? Paul was the one that received revelation of the risen Lord Jesus Christ and got the foundation. And it's called a sure foundation in your Bible. We'll get to that in just a second. I want you to look at this in Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, out of all of Romans, has got just some dynamite doctrine for us today. Doesn't mean any other chapter doesn't, but this one, I mean, it just gets funneled for us today. It's a beautiful chapter. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to kind of jump in just for time's sake, and I don't want to explain all the other verses, but we can do it justice by just jumping in there. Verse 31. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Good question. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, I find some interesting things there, folks. I find Paul addressing whose. He started it off, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. What does justify mean? Come on. What is justify? Y'all know? I mean, I don't mean to... Justify is to... If you go to court and you've been charged with something and the conclusion of the jury is we find him not guilty, when that court's over, you've been justified of anything. The thing is that we were guilty. We were guilty before God as sinners before God, but because Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day, by faith in him, God has cleared us. We're justified. Who cleared us? Who cleared us? Who pronounced us innocent? It's in the verse. It's God that justifies. So then, who shall separate us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So you know what I have there? A bunch of who's. That deals with individuals, right? People. That's people. Who? You always address a who. So consequently, he moves on. Then he says, verse 35, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of sword, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So I see another list of things, and that's what I'm going to call them. Things. I don't know what else to call them. Things. What are they? They're in verse 35. They're a tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. All those things beset them, and so he's listing them for the Romans, how they are aggressively being treated by these things that we just read. But wait, it don't stop there. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor debt, nor death, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So then he talks about creatures. Creatures. So we have who, things, creatures. But not only that, it's not bound by time. Why? Because he says at the end of verse 38, nor things present, nor things to come. What is this about? Separation. Separation. You see, God knew that when he gave the gospel to Paul, that all of your sins are forgiven, that he'd have those rise up and say, oh, surely not all your sins are forgiven. Well, you know, if you commit such and such, you'll lose that. You'll get separated from God. So that is what this is addressing. It is addressing the who, the things, and the creatures. We went through the things on the creatures. On Wednesday night, we've been going through it for about 3 months at least and seeing a whole side that exists there that you can't look out and see. Most preachers today preach on things that they can look out and see. You know, the sins of the flesh that are easy, noticeable stuff. But there's powers out there that you don't see. And they're the ones working behind the scenes. Satan is a creature. He was created. And he's heading it up. And he brings everything to the charge of God's elect. He's the one behind the scenes. And God knows it. So he had Paul pin this down to let you know that there ain't a who out there, there ain't a thing out there. There isn't a creature out there, either now or the time to come, that's going to separate you from the love of God. Can't happen. We had a guy visit here Wednesday, I'm sorry. Most everybody had left, so I get the pleasure of talking with him. So as we're talking out there in the parking lot for about 40 minutes, I know there's always I can present to them, and I'll find out where they stand on everything. And that is why our church believes that when you trust in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, and you can't lose your salvation. And I saw it. Uh-oh, the fork in the road. He goes, well, now, I agree you can't lose it, but you can give it away. I said, what? you can give it away. He said, yeah, let me give you this example. We're in the parking lot. He has his keys on a key ring, right? But it has a clip on it and it's on his belt loop. He said, let's say, for instance, I'm walking down the sidewalk or the street or something and my keys fall off and I don't realize it. I don't hear them. I don't. Someone behind me sees it, picks them up and gives them to me. Well, I lost my keys and he gave them back to me. I'm like, okay, hopefully this is going somewhere. That is in contrast to if I took my keys off, I said, here, take my keys, and I give my keys away. And I'm thinking, how many people do I know that give their keys away? Keys to their house, keys to the safe, keys to the car. Any of you ever do that? If you do it in a willing manner, it's called an act of donation, not a giveaway. And you have to sign papers for it, as a matter of fact. You have to go through a notary. You can give them away. Well, guess what, folks? You know what that man is? He's a who. That refers to people. If he has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he can't give it away. Why? Because God has justified us and we cannot be so separated by the who, things, or creatures. Not in this life, not in the life to come, not at this time or that which is to come. We can't be separated, you understand? That is the uniqueness of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So when you build on this foundation, you better be building based upon eternal security. If you're talking to people and tell them they can lose their salvation, you're going to be, uh-oh, because you ain't building right. And that's what's going on today. That's the construction that's going on today. And folks, people love to gather there. Because they want to hear all about God. They want to have their little comfort inner self comforted by rosy message. But they also like the little hurdle they're given. But you got to remain faithful. So it keeps them coming. Keeps them coming. They like that challenge. Well, folks, the gospel is all about Christ. It's not about us. It's not about what you do to get it, what you do to maintain it. You don't do anything to get it. You just believe the truth that was delivered to you, how Christ died for our sins. He was buried and was raised again the third day for our justification. And so consequently, you believe that. Once you have it, you're in. That's it. There is no separation from God. And that's good news, folks. Because when you trust Christ, the rotten sinners that we were before we trusted Christ, guess what? We're the same rotten sinners after we've trusted. That's good news to rotten sinners. Are any rotten sinners in here besides me? Feel like I'm the only one in here. Note to self, I'm not. The who's, the things, and the creatures are always there. They've always been there. But folks, when you trust Christ, you are planted on a sure foundation. Interesting about that word. Turn to 2 Timothy. I don't know who in their right mind, and maybe that's the problem. Nobody's in their right mind today. But I don't know who in their right mind would want to hear a message from God, about God, pertaining to Jesus Christ, and never have the confidence of eternal security. I don't understand that. It just blows my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 2, watch this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, a foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, that verse doesn't contradict itself. From the foundation of God standing sure and departing from iniquity. Though there are those that will read it, well, you're on that foundation, but if you don't depart from iniquity, you're off of it. No, that's not the context of the verse. The verse is, because you're on that foundation, which is a sure foundation, depart from iniquity. What is iniquity, by the way? That's a good question, because it's there.
Oh, is it smoking a cigarette? Is it going to happy hour and throwing a few down?
What is iniquity? It goes much deeper than that. It's the beauty of religion that's corrupt. That's what iniquity is. It is corrupting the Word of God in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, having the power of the Holy Ghost, which is all a fake and a lie. That's iniquity. Come out from among them and be ye separate. So God's saying, I've got a sure foundation here. Don't get involved in that. Be built up on this foundation. Now here's the beauty of all this. The Greek word for sure, since we're here in this time, stereos. Well, what English word do you think we get from that? Stereo. We get our English word, stereo. That's the Greek word for sure. Well, what is it about a stereo? Mark, you're going to have to help me on this. What is it about a stereo? It comes out in different channels, right? It envelops you. That's the design of a stereo. Coming out in different channels so the sound surrounds you. Well, it's in reference to a foundation. You know what it's saying? That even though you've got the who's, the things, and the creatures that are going to always be there, you've got a sound foundation that is always around you. You're never going to be knocked off of it. You're never going to fall off of it. It's always there. I thought that that was fascinating. I mean, just blew my mind when I looked at it. I go, stereos. I understand stereo. What was it? Quadraphonic came out in the, I think, 70s. Well, they started splitting them up into four channels. I don't think it lasted the way it should. I don't know. Once again, a musician over here is going to have more say-so. But I know what a stereo is. It produces multi-channel sound, so it gives you the impression that you're just surrounded in this sound. The beauty is, it's an application for your foundation that you're placed upon. Meaning you'll never, ever be knocked off the foundation once you trust the Lord. Amen? Amen. Anybody? Amen. The foundation of God standeth sure. And that word sure, when you look it up in stereos, we know what a stereo is, but sure means it's firm, it's steadfast, it's hard, it's unmovable. So everywhere you get tossed in this life by the who, the things, and the creatures, the foundation is always there. It's always rock solid. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock. And it's designed today for sinners such as ourselves. It's designed to hold sinners such as ourselves. Because folks, there's a foundation we saw running all through your Bible, and that foundation could never sustain us that are alive today. We are a bunch of blasphemous, no count Gentiles, and God never promised to save any of us until he gave that foundation to the Apostle Paul. And he says, take heed how you build upon, because if you don't, uh-oh. Closing in this, I know it's 12 up, so much for finishing early. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. By the way, when you hear the gospel, and those of you in here that have trusted Christ, What in the beauty of the amazing grace that was bestowed upon you to save you? What in that message would ever prompt or promote you to give it away? I thought about this since Wednesday. What do you hear in that message? You go, I want to give it away. I mean, I understand you've got a TV from the 80s. You know, the 19-inch that weighs 800 pounds. Well, it's not compatible with my systems today. I want to give it away. Understand that. Well, we're talking about the most beautiful message that God has given man of all time to save you from all sins. What about that makes you go, I want to give it away? Just thinking out loud. Half my problem too, by the way. Ephesians chapter 1. Watch this. We got to cover this. I'm going to go through it quickly, but I'm going to do it justly. In Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So what we'll do is use me as a test right here. Born here. Trusted Christ 1980. I'm going to die, I guess, out here at some point. Hopefully it'll go in a rapture, but don't know. So consequently, 1980, I trusted in Jesus Christ. You know what happened when I trusted in Jesus Christ? Same thing that happened to you when you trusted in Christ. The Spirit of God came in you, and He sealed you until when? Day of redemption. How long is the Spirit of God sealing you? How long will the Spirit of God stay in you and seal you? Until the day of redemption. What if I die before? Why, I just go to sleep in Christ, as some of our members have done. They're sound asleep right now. They're waiting, but they're asleep. If we're alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, He's going to come out of heaven. He's going to catch those that are alive and remain. And that is the day of redemption for all the body of Christ. So how long are you sealed till? Day of redemption. Not the day that you give it away. Not the day that the who convinces that you're separated from the love of God. Not the day that the things have you convinced that you shouldn't be involved in this because there's too much persecution. And not the day when the creatures come about and convince you you're believing the wrong doctrine and you're at the wrong church. The Spirit won't seal you unto that. The Spirit of God will seal you unto what? Day of redemption. You can't miss it. It's written right there in elementary English. The day of redemption. So once we trust Christ, we're sealed unto when? Day of redemption, folks. There's nothing separating you. So don't let swaggart's bunch tell you, don't go to that church. They got a doctrine from the pit of hell. And that's what they say about us. They believe you can lose yourself. You can keep your salvation and commit all the sins you want to commit. Well said, but I'm not even going there. Google him and his little boy and find the scoop on them. You find it. I don't need to address them up here. We're secure here, sealed until day of redemption. But first, you must trust the rock. The one that died for you was buried and raised again. Not know about him, trust in him. Believing all your sins are forgiven by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All right, I'm gassed. We end it. Stand and let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your Son who was delivered up and willingly went to the cross for us who are unworthy. But yet he saw the worth that would be created in him and the fact that you would take us on as adopted sons and that we could have the hope of eternal life and all the working that was done through Jesus Christ. If there's any here that has never trusted, I pray that right now they would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right where they're standing. go before you in prayer and just tell you, I trust in your son. And folks, if there's any here, we give them the due commendment that they deserve for trusting in the Lord. And we give God all the honor and praise that he deserves for the salvation that he's bestowed upon us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you all.